Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
All right. Well, good morning again. We've heard from Steve. We've heard from Dave. I think this thing's still got a little of your makeup on it, Steve. Oh, I meant Steve, but just kidding. So today, I want to talk a little bit about stuff that's been going on. I felt the Holy Spirit dealing with me about a 10-year-old problem to try to, you know, get through something that I really wasn't too aware of that I was dealing with. So today's message is entitled Unexpectedly and the Sovereignty of God. So whenever we have loss, it stirs up a lot of feelings, of course, but it also oftentimes brings a lot of soul searching. And over the last couple of weeks, you know, with Peggy and a friend of mine, Debbie, a week or so before that, you know, I started really soul searching. And I think it's that kind of soul searching where you're running your hands over the scars of your life, you know. And every once in a while, the Holy Spirit will guide your hand to, hey, feel that one? It didn't heal. You didn't heal. You didn't let that one go right. And that's what happened this past couple of weeks. And so this is 2026. 10 years ago in June, my father passed away. So anytime there is a loss of a friend, a loved one, or anything, of course, my dad comes up into it. And you ask why. It's because my dad died unexpectedly. So for 10 years, you know, I will unpack why and why, what should have been. And you know, for 10 years, I've been doing that. And, you know, I thought I figured it out and I properly put everything where it should be organized in my brain and my heart. But every time we have this kind of a loss, that unsettled feeling just rises back up again. And recently, though, I began to examine that word unexpectedly. If you guys know me and you've heard me ever talk about my father's passing, I always say he died unexpectedly. Always say that. Now, we all say that. We've said that before, right? Anybody? Am I the only one who says that? So, see, I don't believe my dad should be gone. His death was due to a complication from a routine surgery that went bad, requiring a second surgery to fix the first surgery's problem, where he didn't make it much after that. So, unexpectedly. But that's not the only reason that I use the word unexpectedly when it comes to my father's passing. See, my dad had just realized his calling. My pop was always in the ministry, in the church. He was always, him and my mom. My dad was, you know, mom and dad, they were altar counselors at Life at first. And then they became marriage counselors. Some people in this room may have been counseled by my mom and dad, right? But all along, my dad was called to be a pastor. And it never happened. He spent years at Life. Gosh, how many years was he there as a marriage counselor, mom and dad? All kinds of years. Well, then all of a sudden, it happened. He became Pastor Dale. And he loved it with his whole heart. He loved it so much. He loved ministering to people. He loved loving on people. He was up at that church all the time in Baden. My God, I lived up there and I didn't want to be there that much. And he was up there all the time, just counseling and ministering and loving on people. And people in the neighborhood got to know him. And he got to do that for just over a year. And then he was gone. Unexpectedly. Unexpectedly, that word insinuates that I know something of how the world is going to go, how it's going to work. It implies that I've already planned, you know, the outcome of something, that whether I purposely thought it through or subconsciously, I just have this plan that this is how the life in the world is going to go. Now, if we're all honest with ourselves here, we all do it, right? We all have this. And it really excludes the sovereignty of God as an outcome possibility. And even though, like, as believers, if you were to confront any one of us and say, is God in control? We'd go, of course he's in control. Of course he is. But we still operate under expectations. And we maybe they're individual, maybe they're corporate. But in this case, my logic says, why does a man have to die when he just walked into the calling that God has had on his whole life? When he was so young, he was 69 years old. When the surgery was routine, when I, his son, still needed him. It's unexpected. So this week, this past couple of weeks, sitting there, you know, mourning my friends, contemplating, praying, listening to a playlist. I have a, you might be shocked to know, I have a kind of a moody playlist that plays in the background a lot of times if I'm sitting there. Sorry. And so this song comes on. And the thing is, I was praying and I felt like the Holy Spirit's like, I was writing a lot too in this time. And I felt like the Holy Spirit's like, okay, 10 years is enough. It's time to deal with something here. And this song comes on. And the song is called If It Be Your Will. It's written by a guy named Leonard Cohen, if you've ever heard of Leonard Cohen. One of my all-time favorite lyricists and songwriters, just a brilliant, brilliant writer. But this particular song is a very popular song of his from way back when. And he states that he had written it through going through some difficult times as a prayer to God. And I adore this song because it's so humble and it is just downright worshipful in recognition that God is sovereign. Then it expresses this sentiment of complete surrender. As I said, he was going through some stuff. So I'm going to just read a couple of the lyrics to you here real quick just to get this idea. So I'm sitting here praying. I'm thinking this stuff through, and the song comes on, and it says, if it be your will that I speak no more, and my voice be still as it was before, I will speak no more. I shall abide until I am spoken for, if it be your will. If it be your will that a voice be true from this broken hill, I will sing to you. From this broken hill, all your praises they shall ring, if it be your will to let me sing. And this song hit me differently this day. And I stopped and I just thought, my logical brain says, of course it's his will that I sing. Of course it's his will, this, but he's saying, I surrender to your sovereignty, God. And if it's your will that I'm quiet, if it's your will that I sing, if it's your will, whatever it is, I'm in for it. And it made me think, and I felt like the Holy Spirit saying, hey, your father passing falls under my sovereignty. And then I cried a lot because I'm a wuss. Life and death. If we believe what the psalmist and Job have said, then we know that God has every single moment already counted for us. He knows. I believe God has sovereignty over life and death. You guys believe that? Yeah. And if that's the case, then there is no unexpectedly. At least not for him. But you know, that opened new wounds. That running my hand across that one scar where you're like, oh man, now I got to deal with this again 10 years later. But I felt like the Holy Spirit's like, hey, but there's going to be a fresh perspective on this. And it's going to include my power, my grace, my purpose. See, unexpectedly has put this little spark of doubt in my wall of trust with God all these years. Now, I don't want to call it like this overt accusation of God where I'm angry with him or anything. It's subtle. It's very small and just tucked away back there where I pretend it's not a big deal. It's okay. It's fine, but it's still there. And year after year, it grows and it erodes everything around it. And it changes the way that you find yourself with trust in God. Sovereignty. Sovereignty describes a person, ruler, or state possessing supreme, absolute, and independent power or authority. As a noun, it refers to a monarch or a supreme ruler, while as an adjective, it denotes independence, self-governance, or supreme quality. It often implies freedom from external control and internal unquestioned command. See, the fact that God is sovereign essentially means that he has the power and the wisdom and the authority to do anything he chooses within his creation, right? Now, whether he actually exerts that level, whether he actually does that, is a whole different question. That doesn't define his sovereignty, what he chooses to do. See, I think, if we're honest, we have this weird belief, maybe we don't want to say it out loud, but somehow, if God isn't directly and purposefully driving an event, we sometimes think that he's not sovereign. I guess, put it a different way, we tend to think that God has to do anything that he can do, or else he's not sovereign. So in my line of thinking, my dad should be here, questioning the sovereignty of God. And so, of course, we know when we actually logically look at that idea that God must do anything that he's capable of doing, that's silly. But I found this really cool analogy online as I was studying sovereignty. It's pretty fun. I could read it to you, but I'll just try not to because it looks like I'm reading. That's rule 101 on presentation, is to not read your notes. So if you've got a man and he has a fishbowl and he puts an ant in there, the man's sovereignty over this ant is not in question. The man can do what he wants. He could crush the ant. He could fill it with water. He can do what he wants. He can, you know. So if the ant tries to crawl out, the man may not want the ant to crawl out, but the man is not forced to stop the ant or crush it or pick it up or do anything. The man, for reasons of his own, may choose to let the ant crawl away. But the man is still in control at the end of the day. There's a difference between allowing the ant to leave the bowl and helplessly watching as it escapes. You catch that difference? God is never helplessly watching when things happen, whether good or bad. This is like a cartoon version of God's sovereignty, but if the man is not actively holding the ant inside the bowl, then he must be unable to keep it in there at all. That's the flawed logic. Obviously, the man can keep the ant in there if he wants to, but the ant doesn't know why he chooses to do what he chooses to do, right? God has the ability to do anything, period. He can intervene in any situation that he wants, but he chooses to act as he wills for reasons of his own, not my own. But this is a key important thing to remember. No matter what, his will is always furthered regardless. There's a quote, I got this from, I really am sad because I got it off of godanswers.com, but they didn't say who the author was. I like this quote, so I just associated it. I don't think I gave this one to you, Tammy. But it says, "The right of God to allow mankind's free choices is just as necessary for true sovereignty of his ability as his ability to enact his will whenever and wherever he chooses." And do you know why that is? See, I have free will. My ability to choose, I can choose to go over there and, give Terry a dollar. I'm not going to do that right now. Maybe later. I can choose to do that. I have free will to choose to sin. I have free will to choose all these things, right? But why do I even have that free will? Because somebody who's more sovereign than me gave me that. And that same person, the Lord God, has the ability to remove that from me, that free will from me, should he desire to. Now, we have promises in the Bible. We know that, you know, he's not going to go against his promises, all that. But the sheer relationship between a sovereign person and somebody under that person. A good example is at my job, I am in charge of the IT budget. So my company says, okay, here's your budget. You approve every invoice. So when I get the invoices, I say, okay, there's this one, we're gonna pay it. I sign my name on it, I process it through, the accounting team pays the bill. If I say, nah, not paying this one, they don't pay the bill. You might think I'm kind of sovereign. You know, I control whether these people get paid. But that's because my company gave me that permission. And that's what I have. They can easily take that away and say, you know what, you're really terrible at this. Hit the road. But it all leads to this one question. And this is where I felt that I had to have some correction in my life. So there's a question. First, I'm going to ask this question. I don't want anybody to raise their hand. But just think about your own self and think about your own past and what you think about this. But is God's sovereignty limited by man's free will or human freedom? Is your free will going to limit God's sovereignty? See, in the old days, I was taught and I believed that God surrendered that sovereignty to me and that I had this free will. And that was it. God was still God, but I had this free will and choice. I'm going to read you this quote from R.C. Sproul because he explains it so much better. I love R.C. Sproul. You guys like R.C.? Anybody? This was actually a video. I had to go find the, I don't know what year it was, probably the 70s based on the suit he was wearing. But let me read it to you. This is really great. So often people will make statements like this. God's sovereignty can never overrule man's freedom. Have you ever heard that? Maybe you've even said it. Okay, if you said it, I trust that God knows you didn't mean it, or that you didn't understand it, or you were saying what you were saying was God's, I'm sorry, didn't understand what you were saying was God's sovereignty can never overrule your freedom, because if that's true, then who is sovereign? You are. And if you really believe that, you are no Christian. That hit kind of hard for me. It goes on. A sovereign God exercises sovereignty over all his creation. And the better way to say it is, man has free will. Yes, we're certainly not denying that. God has free will. Man has free will. I totally am not reading that according to what you guys are reading there. And God has free will. God is free. Man is free. But the better way to say it is this, that man's free will never overcomes or limits God's free will, because God is sovereign and we are not. So I ask you to think about the implications of this concept, and I ask you, when you come to church to worship, do you believe that God is the one who is Lord of all? If you believe that, then you're on your face never making demands to God, but only making requests, because you recognize that it is he who made you and not you who made yourself. Now, reading that and going through this study last week, it could be real hard to recognize God's sovereignty over all things when they're bad, you know, like things like my dad, you know. It could be tough. And it does feel like this whole cop-out when I'm like, oh, well, the Lord says, I act according to my purposes. And I think, oh, that's fine. You know, be cool if I knew them. You know, I'm indebted to my friend Paige for kind of randomly sending me this verse over text last week too. Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. And this is the Lord's declaration. For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So as for me personally, I started to realize that my unexpectedly demonstrated an area in my heart where God did not have my trust. And it was worse than that. He didn't just not have my trust. He didn't have my recognition of his sovereignty. Because my expectations do not impact his sovereignty. I'll say that again. My expectations do not impact his sovereignty no matter what. Now, I know, like, this is kind of heavy, you know. Maybe I'm the only one in the room that the Holy Spirit really was trying to fix on this line of thinking. Because, again, this is a subtlety. It wasn't something overt where I could actively go around, you know, demonstrating a lack of trust in God in this. But as is the Holy Spirit is always good, it was like, hey, okay, now you understand this, but let me just tell you, why do you think it's good for you to, trust in me? And so the last question to close this out is, where is the comfort in the sovereignty of God? If you study the scriptures of that alone, you're going to find all kinds of stuff, tons. I only picked out 5 things. So let's go through them real quick. 1, purpose. God can turn any situation meant for evil into good. Romans 8:28, right? Anything. And also, he can use brokenness for his glory. So purpose, 1. 2, God is present, personal and present. He is not a distant God. And the case in point with my dad, you know, the Bible says that, and a lot of you guys for the last, you know, couple of weeks, the Bible says that he is near to the brokenhearted, right? He's not a distant God. He's a personal God. 3, evil is limited. Because, man, you guys, some of you guys that are my good friends know I'm pretty good at seeing evil everywhere, you know. I call it a gift. I don't know. But 3 is evil is limited. God does not create evil, but he does limit it. I mean, it's hard to grasp that even the evil of this world is within his control. 4, you don't have to rely on yourself. And for somebody who's got a beehive of a brain like I do, who approaches every problem with the 30,000 fixes that I would do to fix it, wasted energy like you wouldn't believe. That's how I... Sometimes you think, wouldn't it be great if I could just not? If I could just say, okay, let me just chill. Lord, just please. It should give me peace knowing that I don't have to control everything or fix everything. I mean, there may be some of you else out there that are control freaks or, you know, have to fix everything. Won't name any names, but we can rest in his strength. We can trust in his provision and his purpose. Most importantly, we can trust in his purpose. Now, the last one is 5, no need to fear. Psalm 46 is this great psalm where he's just talking about, oh, earthquakes and the flood, mountains are going to fall into the sea and all this trouble and all that. But he is my strength and my refuge. You don't have to fear. Well, where it really comes down to for me in all of this is looking at a sovereign God who has sovereignty over everything, over my unexpectedly. And the fact that he is, we sang songs about demonstrating about how much he loves us today. He's a good father. These are all demonstrations. His motivation is love. So while I don't know his purposes all the time, I don't necessarily know his ways and what he's doing and how he's maneuvering things, I can absolutely trust him. And that's what I've learned this past week. So I want to leave you with the song, If It Be Your Will. And you guys can hopefully watch it, listen to it, or talk amongst each other, or hit Johnny or something. I don't know. All right.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about The Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.